You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
And coming up now is the Space Show, and we're going to start with a little bit of different music than usual for a good reason. That's Bart Van Wissen, Space Tourist. Welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this week's The Space Show, we chat with an Aussie space tourist, hence this music.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
In a few moments here on the Space Show, we'll be talking with a space tourist. Well, to set the scene, we've got Randy Hoffman, who in 2006 recorded this song, Space Tourist, and it raises the question, are tourists welcome aboard the International Space Station or on the moon? So here's Randy Hoffman.
I am an emblem for you. I am a logo in your sky. I am your private Corfu. I'm your 100 mile high. I can't see you flying, coach me in designer evening gown. But you 15G approach me. I'm your frequent pilot lounge. Your commercial destination, exclusive rehab place. Your exotica vacation, you're a tourist in my space. In my space. I'm one of a billion. Moving starlights on your way, I'd pay you 20 million, but the fuel won't make you stay. This station can't afford you any comfort in your time. The hour you came aboard, you started straining at my line. I'm your diamond polished art form, today's new Kevlar face. Your ideal launching platform, you're a tourist in my space. In my space. I'm not rich in measure. By dimensions of this room, but I can show you treasure. Search for water on the moon. Not every desert's iceless. Don't chase the neon yet. Not every credit's priceless. The want draws you till it's met. Will you take my reckless mission? Run a strange and alien race. An underfunded expedition for an explorer in my space. In my space. I know where my home base is. I have no question of your worth. You are a lush oasis. I yearn to colonize your earth.
There are two types of space tourists. Those able to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to take a brief suborbital jaunt to the fringes of space, or even tens of millions of dollars to go into Earth orbit. Then there are people like myself and my next guest who tour space centres and museum exhibits with space in them. Like many people, I flick through the travel supplements of newspapers, and they're full of enticements to take an ocean or a river cruise, or go to Bali, the Maldives, Europe, the pyramids, etc., etc. In more than 30 years of such flicking through, I have only once seen an article about the type of touring that Stuart Gangell has done. Now, Stuart is a member of the Space Association of Australia, which presents the space show for Southern FM. Welcome to the space show, Stuart.
Hi, Andrew.
And now, you've recently returned from a spot of space tourism. Obviously, you didn't go into space.
Correct. Yeah, just one of my regular trips that I do, or okay. try to do every year.
Yeah, so where did you go?
I just went straight to Kennedy Space Center, as my last visit to there was 2018. And obviously, COVID stopped a lot of things from happening, as we all know. So I had an opportunity after resigning from a job that I was not happy in. I thought I'll do a quick trip over to the States and check it out again, see what changes that made over there.
All right. And so you were last there in 2018?
Correct.
So what sort of preparation do you need to do this? Do you need millions of dollars?
No, just a few dollars in the account. But I used to, prior to COVID, I used to get a travel agent to look after us, but she's no longer looking after us, so I had to do everything myself. So I was booking the flight, the visa, accommodation, vaccination certificate, insurance as well, travel insurance, car hire, and international car license. So that was just to get ready for it anyway.
Okay. So you head off from Melbourne?
Correct, yeah. Always out of Melbourne, yeah.
Yeah.
And a direct flight over to LA. And then about a 2-3 hour layover and hop on the plane again to Orlando and get there about 6:30 in the evening.
Oh, good way to do it.
Works out really well.
Okay. And you hired a car there?
Yeah, pick up a car as usual and throw everything in and drive. So, and this time I was not staying in Orlando. I was driving out at a place called Cocoa, which is near Cocoa Beach, and just stayed in a motel for the night there because it was only going to be another 15-20 minute drive from Cocoa to Kennedy Space Center. And I didn't want to do the one-hour drive from Orlando, especially after a bit of jet lag and all those sorts of things. I wanted to get a good night's sleep and be refreshed in the morning.
Understandable. Most people going in that way would stay in Orlando because there are many of the attractions there, like Disneyland and stuff like that, aren't there?
Correct, yeah. It's incredible what's there, but yeah.
Mm. Okay, so at 130 kilometres an hour's drive away is Cocoa Beach.
Correct, yeah. Well, just under an hour, actually. There's a couple of different highways you can get on there to get there. And, had an overnight sleep, and then the next morning, up early, breakfast, in a what they call an IHOP restaurant. It's a bit like a pancake parlour, that sort of thing, so good for meals and breakfast and such. And went out to Kennedy Space Center, got there around about 9 o'clock, collected my pass, my tickets for the meetings that I was going to be having, which I had to obviously pre-book before I travel. I had a bit of a busy day ahead of myself. 11 o'clock, I was going to the Space Shuttle Atlantis building to watch the ceremony for astronauts Roy Bridges and Mark Kelly be inducted into the Hall of Fame, Astronaut Hall of Fame.
And they're Space Shuttle.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. Now, is Mark the guy who stayed up a year, or is his twin?
You got me on that one. No, but he was the one that stayed down, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you actually get a chance to talk to them? Or
Unfortunately not, no. It was a bit of a closed event, but we could see everything that was going on. There was about 200 people there. There were about 20 different former astronauts also there. And it was quite a very, very impacting type of presentation to go into the Hall of Fame there. Mm-hmm. They all had a guard of honour coming in there as well. So
what is the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's a building that's on the premises at Kennedy Space Center, and it's set up for inductees who have become a member, and has a lot of their memorabilia, historical artifacts, and all those sorts of things for all the members that are actually inducted in the Hall of Fame, similar to the AFL.
Okay, because it used to be several kilometres away from the
Kennedy Space Center.
The Space Center Visitor Center.
Correct, yeah. They obviously found out it was probably not a wise decision to have it up there and integrated it into the Kennedy Space Center, which had a bit of land there for that to be made available.
Right. And what can you see when you go to the Space Center?
Where do I start? Well, as soon as you roll up to go through the gates, go through security and collect your get your other passes and things, the first thing that's right in front of you is the Rocket Garden. So you see an Atlas, a Redstone, Delta. I think all up is about 9 or 10 different rockets here. And obviously a Saturn 1B, which is the forerunner to the Saturn 5 rocket. So, and they have tours, only a quick 15-20 minute tour going through the Rocket Garden. I do that about 2 or 3 times a day, which is, as soon as you walk in the gates, it's something quick and easy that you can actually get involved in and start getting into the feel of rockets and space and things like that.
You can just wander around the Rocket Garden on your own, though, can't you?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yes. Yeah, there's all displays set up for reading about the rockets and brief history. But, yeah, and you get up really close to them.
And then you met another astronaut.
After the induction into the Astronaut Hall of Fame, the event closed, and then all the guests and the astronauts and officials had to leave the building. And as they're walking out, they intermingled with us normal people type of thing. And I bumped into Bob Crippen. He was the pilot for the STS-1. So I had a quick chat with him on his walk.
First space shuttle mission.
Yeah.
Wow.
A bit of a character, but yeah. And a lot of these guys are so easy to talk to when they're given the time to talk to the public, just like us. They're very happy to do that. Mm. So that was a bit of a milestone for my first day of the trip, if you like. And so that was that, and then just settled in after they all disappeared. They went on private buses to obviously to another function somewhere. So I had lunch, and then I had my first meeting planned to see a meet and greet with astronaut Sam Gamar. And he did 3 missions on space shuttles, STS-38, 48, and 62. I can't remember exactly whether it was 1 or 2, but he talks about that when they do missions for the Defense Department, they can't talk about it. I just say they went up and they went down. That's about it.
Yes, I know. I've interviewed an astronaut who's been on a shuttle mission, Defense One. He could talk about the others, but the other one, he said, can't say anything.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But they're fantastic presentations. You go into a special room, it's closed off just for the astronaut and the people that have booked to actually meet with them. They put on refreshments, drinks, etc. And you're in there for about 45 minutes talking, letting the astronaut do his talk about himself, his personal life and everything. And then there's Q&A at the end. So it's really great. And then after that, they go to a hall, another building with the Kennedy Space Center, where they'll do a formal 30-40 minute talk about themselves again in front of an audience of 200 or 300 people. So I've done that a few times, and I did that once while I was there too. But to get up close and actually meet them, shake their hand, take a photo, get an autograph, it's really good, Really good to meet these people.
Mm.
88.3 Southern FM.
Where we are on the space show, chatting with space tourist, ground-based space tourist, I must add, Stuart Gangell from the Space Association of Australia. Now, you're now into your third day, Stuart, at the in Florida.
Yeah, correct. Pretty recovering from the trip and everything and jet lag. But up early, breakfast and a one-hour drive out to Kennedy Space Center. Got there and where are we? My first meeting wasn't until about 11 o'clock, I think, so I had a bit of time to see some of the surroundings. And they've got a new building out there called Gateway. Gateway is a part of the NASA program, space program for Back to the Moon. And if you go in that building, you'll see a Falcon 9 rocket suspended from the ceiling. You got a Dragon capsule, the Orion capsule, the Boeing Starliner, replica of the Sierra Nevada spacecraft. Yeah, and in addition to that, there's four virtual rides for the public to enjoy, which are space missions.
Yes, yes. Just emphasising, everything you've done, Joe Bloggs, the public can do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
Just got to get that ticket. yeah, so that was really good. Spent a good hour or so in there, seeing all the artifacts and all those sorts of things. So, and to get up close with the real spacecraft. And we're talking about some of them have actually been in the space. And that's really good. So that was okay. And then had a quick lunch. A quick break. And then I caught up with Roy Bridges, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So there was opportunities throughout the Kennedy Space Center where astronauts like Roy and many others do public events, and they'll do talks and things like that, or they'll, if they've got a bit of time on their hands, they'll write a book, and they'll do a launch of their book at the Kennedy Space Center where, you get photos with them, they can sign the book for you, have a quick chat and all those sorts of things. So I did that with Roy, and that was in the Atlantis building again. And, really nice bloke.
That's the thing that impressed me when I was there is, okay, there are formal occasions when you can hear the astronauts give a talk, have dinner with them or lunch with them, but then you can just meet them out and about. And so I remember, for example, meeting Scott Parazynski, and we just sat down and chatted for a quarter of an hour, just informally, just outside with the Joe public all around. It's great.
Yeah, and a lot of them, when you get into talking with them and that, and you get to the questions and answers, time stops everything because they're on a schedule and things like that. So we really get into the questions and say, sorry, I have to cut it short, we've got to go. And they go to the next time slot where they're doing another presentation or whatever. But nonetheless, for the time you're there and talking to them, it feels like they're like a neighbour. You know, you just get up a close, personal, and they just talk just like you and I.
And when they find you're from Australia?
They say, I remember flying over Australia in the space shuttle or in the space station. Yeah, yes. Quite often they say that.
Yes. Or they have remembrance of a trip to Australia.
That too, yeah. Some of them done that. No, some of them never come to Melbourne, but they might have gone to Sydney or Brisbane for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So that was that. And that was at the end of that day after lunch and everything. And the next day, up early again, another drive back to Kennedy Space Center. I've done a few of these over the years since 2007. And this particular day, I was supposed to be watching the launch of the Axiom mission. But it was...
Yes.
And at the time when I booked my ticket, it had already been changed. So I missed out on that, and it did actually launch, I think, a couple of weeks later, thereabouts.
Did you manage to see the rocket on the pad?
No. A lot of the scheduling now is they only bring it out probably, if not on the day, or only about 12, 15 hours before launch. So there's a lot of chance that you won't see anything.
Yeah.
Like you used to, anyway.
This space shuttle used to be on the pad for weeks sometimes.
Could be, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So, on this day, I missed out on that mission, so I changed my tickets around to do the Kennedy Space Center tour. We hop on a bus at the visitor center, which I should say that's where we are, just at the visitor centre, where everything I'm talking about. Then you go on a bus and it takes you into Kennedy Space Centre with the VAB building, past the launch pads and all those sorts of things. So and they do a running commentary on the bus. They got TV screens in there talking about with astronauts having their previous missions and things like that, what to expect. But every bus is a little bit different and the drivers are a little bit different with their own stories to tell as well while they're driving. So after the bus tour, came back, had lunch again, and then I'm caught up with another astronaut, Julia Payette. She's a Canadian astronaut.
Yes.
Go on.
Yes. I remember her. She later became the Governor General of Canada.
Correct, yeah. She held that post for 4 years, yeah.
So you've met not only a Canadian astronaut, but the former Governor General.
Of Canada.
Wow.
And she was really great to talk to. She was really gets in well with the audience. She was sitting at our table just having a real good chat. And what can I say? I didn't ask too many questions, I guess. I obviously ask a few, but it's interesting when you're in these sorts of audiences gatherings where you listen to what the kids say. And the kids come up with some of the most fantastic questions, and they make the astronauts really smile when they hear a question coming from a child. You know, it's really good, especially the really young ones. That was another big highlight of the day there too. What else? I think it was pretty much, again, at the end of the day, a few highlights. I think I went and saw one of the movies at the IMAX. And after that, leisurely drive back to Orlando, dinner, sleep, and then get ready for the next day. And the next day was just a shopping day.
Right.
Because the rocket launch had been changed, I had to bring my other tickets forward. And I think I adjusted it because of the weather too. It wasn't going to be too good on a particular day. So I thought if I was going to go shopping, it can rain that day, whereas that one, not wasting a good day at a Kennedy Space Centre.
And on day six, I believe you went to the American Space Museum.
Correct.
One of my favourite museums in all the world.
Yeah, I can imagine
Talk
that.
About space tourism. This is where you really meet the stuff, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's just one of those little museums tucked away in the streets of Titusville. Very nice people there, run by volunteers, that sort of thing. Some of the equipment that they've still got in there is from the 50s and 60s when that's the actual equipment used to help launch rockets. There are souvenirs, obviously, from other astronauts. There'd be flight manuals or whatever it might be from different missions, Mercury, Gemini, Apollo. The list just goes on and on. Anything that you can associate or an astronaut might need or take with him when he's training, whether it be at Kennedy Space Center or in the jungle and things like that, or when they're doing fire drills and stuff, they've got all these types of memorabilia in this place. It's really fascinating. You can spend a good 2-3 hours in there too.
Yeah, for such a small museum, it's packed with stuff, isn't it?
Incredible.
Absolutely amazing. You know, you move half a metre and you spend 5 minutes there and then another half metre. And
I like them. And they put up actual photos of some of the memorabilia that's there. If you look, one of Von Braun and the Apollo lunar module, the lunar module, they've actually got the real model that was actually used when he may have been doing demonstrations with politicians or President Kennedy or something like that, because they show the actual model with him and there it is in front of you in a display case, the same one. So, you know, it goes back to the early 60s for the race to the moon. Mm. Yeah.
And I'm not a great buyer of memorabilia. I can walk into a museum shop and walk back out again. But they had stuff there that you just couldn't think of getting anywhere else, and I spent a fair bit of money when I was there in 2010.
Yeah. From where they get some of the material from is when some of these astronauts actually do pass on, they have their own memorabilia. Mm-hmm. And this memorabilia, when it goes to the family, they'll pass it back on to the Space Museum, where they'll, I think they do it about three times a year, where they have auctions. So you can actually bid for something that's that a natural astronaut has used.
Okay. What about Port Canaveral? Are there things to see there other than where the cruise ships go in and out?
Yeah, it's funny about that. I actually, after going to Titusville, I drove to Port Canaveral to go to the Sand Space Museum. You might know that one too. It's just a small one just outside the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. And again, it's only a small museum again. It's just one big room filled with artifacts of rocket engines and nose cones and things like that, as well as a lot of memorabilia. But after going through there and talking to some of the guys there, I thought, oh, that's it, that's the day over, and I'll get ready for my drive back to Orlando. And just as I was coming out and getting back onto the main road, something just caught my eye to the left, and I looked again, I'm thinking, there's all these vertical poles standing up around where the wharfs are and where these big ships are. But something looked different. And I looked a bit closer, and it was a Falcon 9 rocket standing on the wharf. I couldn't see it fully as such, so I did a bit of a detour, drove down a street to just before security, and I got my camera out, and I could get some excellent photos zooming in on the Falcon 9 rocket that had been recovered. So, yeah. Spent a few minutes there, then I happened to notice there was another gate, and SpaceX had a couple of its recovery ships there. So that gate didn't have security, so I drove in there and took some photos there, obviously. I thought, that's it, I'll drive back. And then, lo and behold, just after I'm driving back out of the car park, back onto the main road to go back to Orlando, and I'm driving past the back of these ships, you could see one of the SpaceX ships still had the Dragon capsule on board. So I frantically tried to get a couple of good photos there and kept driving. But, yeah, it was a good way to finish the day, if you know what I mean.
I say, it's good to keep your eyes open when you're travelling, isn't it?
You never know what you're going to see.
Be flexible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's one of the advantages of driving yourself rather than going on an organised tour, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, that little bit of flexibility where if you did an organised tour, you might be limited to one or two days and limited time. Buses and things like that, so you get dropped off, okay, you got 6 hours, see as much as you can, come back. And sometimes some of these tours, if you don't book them in advance on the line like I had, you'll just miss out when you get there.
Okay, we've only got a couple of minutes left,
sure.
Stuart.
Okay.
So what's next?
Okay, so the next day, it was my last drive to Kennedy Space Center. End in the morning, it was a bit of a shorter day this day. Just to do some shopping at the Space Shop, which is supposed to be the largest space shop in the world.
It is.
anything you want, you can think of, it's there. And you can also buy it online as well. So spent about an hour or so in there. I always buy a couple of books from there to read throughout the year. Then I caught up with another astronaut, Mike Good. He'd been on a couple of space shuttles, STS-125 and 132. And, yeah, same thing again. I know we're rushed for time, but, yeah. Great to talk to these people, get a photo opportunity with them, autograph and all those sort of things. And then I went back, and my last day was just packing up from where my accommodation was in Orlando, checking out, and then I just went for a drive into Orlando, and I thought I'd see some of the museums in there, and I walked into Ripley's, believe it or not. Spent about an hour or so in there, and, that was about it.
Great. So, what was the highlight of your trip then?
Well, everything I've just talked about, meeting the astronauts, talking with them, that was really key. And I've never met so many astronauts on this particular trip. The other one, you might only meet one or two, if you're lucky, depending on timing and scheduling. And because a lot of schedules have changed because of the Ukraine war with Russia, the security's prevents a lot of things happening at Kennedy Space Center now, so hence not a lot of tours happening. So, but I was fortunate to go on the ones that I did anyway. I'm really happy about that.
What about the Saturn V building? Is that open still?
It's still open, yes. They've changed a few things with the way what's in the building. The lunar module that used to be suspended is now on the ground, so you can walk around it as such. but they've changed the lighting in there, and it's not as well lit as what it used to be when, if, and it's like when you went in 2010, maybe, or when I went in 2018.
Maybe they can't pay the power bills anymore.
Look, I asked them about that, and they said that's just the way it is. So
yeah.
I look at the photos that I took on this trip, on previous trips, definitely not the same. On my last day flying back to San Francisco for my return flight back to Melbourne, we're on the plane going down the runway ready to take off, and all of a sudden the pilot says, we've got some nose wheel problem here. We're going to have to go back to the gate. So we went back to the gate. This is, you know, what, about midnight on our return flight back to Melbourne, and had to spend a day in San Francisco before I could come home.
Oh, okay.
So that's another highlight, unexpected.
Righto. Well, thank you, Stuart, for joining us on the Space Show. We've been chatting with Stuart Ganjil, a member of the Space Association of Australia, and, like me, a space tourist, but not one who's been actually into space, unfortunately. Anyway, we're heading now towards the end of the show. I'm Andrew Rennie. This has been the Space Show with the Space Association of Australia.